The information presented in this podcast is intended to be for entertainment and educational purposes only. It should never be used in place of advice given by a mental health or medical professional or as a substitute for mental health treatment. If you're struggling with a mental health issue, please seek professional help. And I'm Krisha, and today we are going to talk about the season 14 gag reel release that was this week and Supernatural Day and all of the big feelings that came along with them, because there were so many. So we have had so much fandom content this week that it has been just a wild, wild ride. So let's start by talking about the season 14 gag reel, which came out earlier this week, which it came out because the season 14 DVD was released. But what I found to be, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, amusing, is that apparently this fandom just does not care about copyright laws at all, because the second that thing dropped in a store, it was all over the internet.
Yes.
Everywhere. Which does not impair sales, I'm quite sure, because everybody was going to go buy it when they got a chance to, but...
Oh, heck yeah. And I don't even feel too bad, because like, different Supernatural stars, who I shall not mention by name, have actually encouraged fans to watch bootlegs content, so, like, I don't even feel bad. Don't feel bad.
Right.
Anyway, it was wonderful.
It was so good. Every gag reel is good, but this one especially just really took it to a new place. So I'm still recovering, I feel like, many days later.
Yeah, and I've had a really crazy work week, so I feel like I'm just starting to digest the gag reel a little bit. And so I'm really looking forward to talking it through with you, because there was so much. I mean, it was literally, I think it's over 12 minutes long, which I think is probably the longest gag reel that we've ever had. But also the contents.
Oh my God. It was just, yep.
It was so good.
I feel like we had spent 13 years building towards these moments that we received. Mm-hmm. Like, so where does one even start? Yeah, like,
I know. I was just gonna say, I'm trying to start with one of like the more PG moments from the gag reel, which was something that we've heard about them talk, at various cons repeatedly, which is all the scenes in which they dogpiled on top of Alex.
And like, Alex.
I know, like they were literally saying it's like it was like 600 pounds of dudes on top of poor Alex, who's so slender and frail looking in comparison. I mean, he's not frail, but you know what I mean, like,
they
huge.
Made Jack look very frail. He was like sick a lot and is supposed to be this little baby, so they really present him as being this little nougat.
He's so cute.
I know.
So it was so cool to finally, for me, one of the highlights was to finally see what they've been talking about for like a year at cons, and getting to see Alex. Oh, Alex. He is a good sport.
I think you have to be a regular on this show. Though I have to say, just because it showed up so many times in the gag reel, which is Ruth, and Ruth's face of her just trying to be a professional and working with all of these men. And just...
I love Ruth so much. She tries so hard.
I very much appreciated the facial expressions that she had, because I'm like, she looks like me at my house every day when all of my children are being ridiculous.
Oh no.
You're like, ah, I'm sorry. Yep. I relate. Very, very relatable. Oh my gosh.
So, dogpiling on Alex, but then we, maybe we can just start where it started off, with the Pearl scene. So, I didn't realize, literally, until today, like, I thought that everyone was laughing their asses off because Jared messed up the Pearl and, like, sent it bouncing off on the floor instead of, and so I was like, oh, that's really funny, and so I found it hilarious just with that. But it wasn't until today that I actually heard what Jensen said, which was bleeped out, because apparently the Pearl hit Jeffrey Dean Morgan in the unmentionables, and I was like, no, really? And then I watched it like 10 times in a row. And I was like, no, oh, that's why he was holding Sam's hand so tightly.
And that's why Jared and Jensen just immediately fell to the floor in hysterics. Yeah. I like to tell myself that I have a sophisticated sense of humor, you know? And then I watch this gag reel and I'm just like crying, laughing at these, you know, these antics. And I find that to be amusing all by itself. Yeah. I loved that scene just because not only do you have Jared and Jensen like literally on the floor laughing after this huge emotional buildup, and I loved that they kept that in the gag reel so that we all got to that place with them of intensity and tears and oh my gosh, you know, and then they, yeah, it goes from there. But it was just like seeing everyone behind the camera and hearing everyone behind the camera also losing it. Oh my gosh. I just love that the Pearl went flying. It went flying where it did. And even Jeffrey Dean Morgan just, like, he's such a professional. He just stood there for a second, you know, trying to keep the take. And it wasn't until Jensen was like, wait, did that just? So, yeah, half the time I'm like, how in the hell do they get anything done on this set? Like, how does an actual quality television show come out of this shenanigan, you know, situation? But then you see stuff like that, and I'm like, wow, they're actually keeping it together for a couple of seconds before everyone falls on the floor.
Right.
They really are professionals.
I feel like it's kind of remarkable how quickly they're able to shift in and out of, like, hijinks into, like, really emotional stuff. And yeah. It kind of makes me even more in awe of them as actors, because they can recover really quickly. and right before the thing with the Pearl happened, like, Jared as Sam looks like he's barely holding it together emotionally, and like the most emotionally appropriate way possible for the scene. And then that happened. I'm kind of in awe. And then we got into the bar scene, which was like an extended thing of just everybody messing with Misha.
I can't even talk about it. Oh my god. Like, they just kept going and messing with him, and he's trying so hard to just keep his gravelly cast voice and be direct and say his lines, even when Jared is literally in his ear. You know, oh gosh.
I know, the part where he like sticks his finger in his ear, and then Misha keeps going and is like, Dean, that was an accident. And like then Jared like leans into the frame while keeping his finger in Misha's ear, and then is very seriously like, it was an accident. And then Misha keeps going, like still with Jared's finger in his ear. It was an accident. I was like, how do you even, I don't know how they got through that scene. Like, I literally
don't either.
I don't know.
Well, and when they did, and then, you know, Misha's just like screaming because he got through it. Oh, so good.
And I mean, that's not even getting into, like, the farting that happened in the bar scene. I mean, yeah. It's no coincidence that, like, most of these outtakes are Jared, at least, in some part of them.
It makes me wonder about the process on set. Like, do they do individual takes, or do sometimes they just, like, let the camera keep rolling and hope to God that they can get enough to piece together to edit into actually being a scene? Because I feel like some days that's probably the best approach. I don't know.
This is actually now making me think of The French Mistake, where they're like, technically we have them saying all of the words.
Right, exactly.
So maybe we could slice it together. We could make it work.
Oh man.
And that was like, again, that was like such an emotional scene.
Like, I will and never be able to see it the same way again now.
I know. It's like the scene where, like, from season 13, where Jack, like, knocks Sam and Dean and Misha and Castiel to the ground with, like, a wave of power before then he, like,
disappears
from the bunker. Yes. And that was, like, such a, like, moment in the actual thing. And now I can never watch that scene without thinking of them, like, rolling around on the floor and flailing and, like, and pushing, like, the cart around and going, like, where did he go? I don't know.
It changes everything. Yeah, it does. Like, even in this rewatch that I've been doing over the summer, I've been trying to, you know, live tweet my rewatch of the whole series, and yep, sometimes I get to a scene and I'm like, yeah, I can't even see it as this anymore. Like, I have to, you know, this is what I see instead. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, either the outtakes or fandom content or, you know, like, something will become iconic that's not even directly from the show that completely changes the way I see the show, which is part of what I love about this show so much. Yeah.
They really do let us in as fans. And, like, as much as we're giggling and being silly about this, like, I appreciate so much, because a lot of actors would not be okay with releasing this kind of footage to the public. And yet every season, I mean, they're asked permission and they always say yes. And we get this delightful behind the scenes insights into what it's like. And I mean, like, who wouldn't want to be on the set of Supernatural, honestly?
Oh my gosh. My greatest fandom wish would be to just be able to spend a day or even an hour watching them film. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes.
But I think that sort of leads into my favorite part of the gag reel, which I think a lot of the fandom would probably agree with, which is there's Dean and Cass, well, Jensen and Misha, slow dancing, but they're wearing their Dean and Cass costumes, so that has a visual to it that's just delightful. And
like, trying not to squeal in a high-pitched fangirl voice.
I know. It was beautiful. And it was beautiful, it was beautiful on both levels equally, right? Like, seeing Jensen and Misha as actors dancing around together like that was just, it's like, so cute. They love each other. It's so adorable, and I love it. But then being able to imagine that it's Dean and Cass also is just, you know, it.
I know! I know! Just, and, like, when Jensen did the spin, with Misha. Yes. I was like,
so I know.
I'm trying not to break the microphone.
Yes, because Misha was leading, and then Jensen did the spin. So, I loved it. I loved every single second, and then we come to the peace of mind outtake, which we knew.
I think. But first. Oh, okay. We cannot skip over the massage.
Because yes.
It was a massage with Misha giving Jensen. I don't know what was that voice.
I don't know. But
the fact that he was just sitting there going, "Yes, you like that. I can tell. Just relax." I was like, "No, that did not just happen." And I flailed. Literally, I'm flailing now. Yep. It was wonderful.
Hilarious. Yep. I would have loved to see, you know, some more context there just to see how they got but
how did that happen? But you know what? I've seen stuff where people have talked about, people have asked who gives the best massages, and mm-hmm. the response from Jensen was Misha. So Misha. Apparently yep. this is something that happens, and that makes my heart
clearly,
happy.
Clearly, yeah. Now we have evidence of it.
We do. On to the Misha Jared content.
Because that's really... the pièce de résistance, I think.
It is.
Yes. So, I mean, I think as soon as we all watched that episode of television and we saw that scene, we were like, we need to know what happened there. there are outtakes of this. Give them to us. And they lied to us and said that they were all deleted.
Did they? I missed they that. Mm-hmm. I missed yeah. that. And then, but then at GypCon, we got the reenactment.
Yes, we did. Thank you for that.
And that was, like, amazing. So
now it takes on a whole new spin, because when you look at it and you, at the reenactment, mm-hmm. you know, I can only assume they talked about it before they did it. But then again, yeah. you know, is Jensen down there wondering, like, well, how much of this are we going to reenact?
Oh, shoot. Yep.
Things to ponder.
Also, things to ponder. Jared, like, can you imagine a big, ginormous... flaily Jared being on top of you for like an hour trying to get a scene done? I cannot. I was just like, because he was like a 4-year-old. He was just like, he was flailing all over the place. And I was like, Misha probably was like legit serious. He was like, this is gonna end with a craft room for me.
Yeah, because... that is a legitimate concern.
Right. Because I mean, yeah, that it looks like it went on for a while.
I believe that if they even tried to turn the camera off at that point, I don't know how that scene wasn't just a continuation of just letting them go and seeing if you can get something that works, because that was always going to be some shenanigans, and I think they had to know that.
I can see now, I'm just thinking, I'm just wondering if Megan was thinking about that when
I know, right? Are they cackling in the writer's room as they're putting this together? I have to believe so. I have to believe
so. And we know she was on set that day because she has photos from, like, behind the scenes. So she got to see all of that beauty, like, just, like, happen. Right in front of her, and like, I would, if I was writing that, I like, knowing Jared Padalecki, I would have written that scene just for the outtakes.
Absolutely.
And again, like, more reasons that I love Megan. She's just awesome.
Well, and so, it speaks to the family atmosphere, you know, like they want to produce quality television, and they do, but damn, but they have a good time doing it, and they are able to incorporate messing with each other, you know, whether it's the actors or the writers or the, like, everybody's messing with everybody in this loving way, while still getting the job done. And I just feel like that is the magic of these people, is, you know, because it's tough to walk that line, you know, in any job, between having a good time and really doing your best work. So I continue to find that amazing about this particular group of people and what they do.
It's really beautiful. And I think you make a good point, like, in any setting, in any job, this kind of camaraderie and rapport and, like, sense of humor that's very loving, even though it's very, you know, is like, that's very rare in any job context.
Yeah.
So it's really lovely to be able to see how special it is for everybody involved in the show. And I think that's part of why it hits me in the feels every time I see a gag reel, because there's just this level of, like, lovely affection between everybody on the show, and I love that. I really, really do. Really do.
Yeah. I think that's true for a lot of us, and I think that's why, when I watched the gag reel the first time, I caught it in the morning, and, like, when it was first sort of put out there, because I think Australia got it, and so by the time Eastern Standard Time woke up, which is me, it was kind of out there for everybody to see, and so I was able to, I had to know that it was there, I had to take my kids to school, and then come back, and then I finally got to sit here and, you know, and watch it, and I very literally laughed until I cried. So I went from this, like, hysterical laughter to, like, actually really, really, you know, crying, like, having a significant cry over it. And there was a couple of things going on for me, I think. There is that family atmosphere where it just seems like they are so happy together, you know, everyone just seems to have such a good time together and love each other. And they're so comfortable with each other. Like, they're so comfortable with each other. These action star actor, you know, manly men released content to the rest of the world, showing them kissing on the mouth, showing them slow dancing with each other, showing them being so handsy and affectionate and joyful together, which is so meaningful, I think, to so many of us, but certainly to me, because it just is, like, they just reject, you know, toxic masculinity. Like, they're just not doing that. They are not ashamed to love each other. They're not ashamed to be affectionate with each other. They're not ashamed to show the world that they, you know, have a good time together. And I just thought that was so beautiful to watch and so meaningful for them to share that with us. And so that hit me just a lot. And then
yeah, it's hitting me now too. I'm like,
Well, I mean, we talk about it, I think, as a society. We're starting to have that conversation about toxic masculinity and about, like, it's okay for men to cry and it's okay for men to be affectionate. But talking about is one thing. Having these men showing it openly, joyously, I just, I can spend a lot of time there.
I think part of why it's so meaningful for me is because these are adult men, and they've grown up through a period when toxic masculinity was completely okay. You know, I say that with air quotes, right?
Sure.
And so the fact that they had grown up in, you know, they in a very formative time in their lives when toxic masculinity was acceptable in our society, and yet have rejected that so so completely, to the point where, you know, they do release content where they are so openly and beautifully affectionate with each other as friends. I there's something really meaningful about it coming from especially adult men who are in their, you know, late 30s, early 40s. I think that that's part of what makes it so meaningful and beautiful for me. So I like that you mentioned, like, the men part, because I think, you know, younger men coming up, it's still something that we're really wrestling with as a society, but we're starting to talk about it at least. So I think that it's going to become less and less of a thing for younger men, but I think for men in the age range that Jared and Jensen and Misha are in, it's a statement, right? It's they're making a really powerful statement, and I love that, you know, young women and young men can see this as an example of acceptable behavior between men, because dang nabbit, like, that was not something that people could do before.
Right. Well, and I think seeing, so, you know, Jared, Jensen, and Misha are in that same age range as you and I are.
Yes.
You know, we come from the same generation, the same background,
yes,
when it comes to this kind of stuff. And Dean and Sam do also, you know, Cass is,
yes,
outside of that because he's a celestial being. But, you know, Dean,
yeah,
like, is the poster child for, I have to keep my emotions hidden. I have to keep it all in check. I have to be this manly man. And so,
yes,
yeah, seeing him slow dancing with Cass, whether they're in character or not, it just made my little heart sing. Like, so, yeah,
yes,
there's, like, you know, the real world actors, that part is meaningful. But even just seeing them, you know, being able to envision the characters doing that, since they struggle with that so much, was just, you know, it made my heart happy,
yeah,
too. And I think, you know, I've noticed as I've been doing my rewatch how many iconic images associated with the show are actually the gag reel, because those,
ooh,
those images are really meaningful to us. Like, and so, yeah, I really appreciated what they gave us, because they knew how we would react to many of these things.
You're really cute, Krisha.
Thanks.
Oh, I adore you. Okay.
Aww.
I'm trying to think, do we want to talk about any other, like, there were some really other great moments. I feel like we've hit on the ones that are going to be iconic, but I mean, like, there's moments, like, when Rob just casually, like, wanders onto the set.
I know.
And, like, the first time I watched that,
even in this scene.
He wasn't even in that episode. He just, like, scrolled on. And I was like, what is happening? And then when I actually took time to listen to the dialogue, I was,
yeah,
like, Jared, we're fighting the Gorgon. And Rob was like, And Jared's like, an engorged Orgon. Rob's like, yeah, no, I'm good. And he, like, starts backing away. And meanwhile, Jared is like, thanks for checking in. And then,
yeah,
like, it was just, I love everything about that. And I love that Rob was like, no, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I was going to drop by and see you guys, but I'm out.
So, oh my gosh, stuff. You know, we try really hard to keep this podcast PG just because, I don't know, seems like the thing to do professionally, but, like, it gets tough
when they're saying things like engorged or Orgon for Gorgon, like, and literally some of the things that that they were saying in those outtakes, I'm like, can we say those things on this podcast?
I don't know. Bring the oils.
Yes.
because they've clearly corrupted Alex as well. Like,
yeah. Misha doing the thing in the Castiel voice. He's like, "Don't, Jack. She's gonna take advantage of you." I was like, "No." And then like Jared losing it behind him, like, to the point where he like falls down on the desk.
And again, Ruth is just standing there, like,
I'm sorry for all of this. She has such a lovely and expressive face.
She does.
No words.
And I really loved that they had the camera on her face when she realized, you know, that it was going off the rails again. That just quiet, like, their job looks super fun, but man, I'm pretty sure it's pretty relatable in some ways.
Yep.
Like, just please let me get through this.
Through this whole podcast.
I know.
I'm so sorry.